Hello, you're listening to It's Alive, a Victor Frankenstein podcast. My name is Lisa Gomez.
My name is Gina Gomez.
And yeah, we're two twin sisters that are very obsessed with the upcoming Paul McGuigan-directed and Max Landis-penned film, Victor Frankenstein, starring Daniel Radcliffe, James McAvoy, and Andrew Scott.
Ooh, just saying that cast name just gets me too happy and a little too excited.
Yeah, it's an incredible cast. So yeah, let's kind of introduce ourselves a little bit and get into who we are and why we love the film. And then we actually were in attendance in Hall H during the Victor Frankenstein panel on Saturday, and we were third row center.
And we camped out all night, which we'll get to a little bit later in the podcast, and we'll tell you about our journey and our thoughts on the trailer and the panel itself, but that is later.
All right. So, yeah. So, like I said, my name is Lisa. I actually run the Tumblr blog Igor Stein Turpin. I don't know if any of you listeners have actually gone to that blog, but I have literally dedicated my entire Tumblr life. And so for a lot of people, that means my entire life on Victor Frankenstein for the past 5 months, actually. I started my Tumblr blog in March after I met Max Landis and actually read a draft of the Victor Frankenstein script. And I became so obsessed with it that I actually devoted an entire new Tumblr blog on the film Victor Frankenstein.
So you're obsessed, like Victor is obsessed with creating the monster.
Yes. And Igor is obsessed with Victor and yes. Turbin's except, oh, never mind. That's a spoiler. Anyway.
So tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into how we even became obsessed with this film, even though it's not out yet.
Yeah. So basically, my sister and I, which is Gina right here, but we're two twin sisters. We actually write and perform original music. Some of the music is really geeky. For example, we have a Buffy the Vampire Slayer inspired song. We have a few Sherlock inspired songs. And we're actually writing a Frankenstein inspired song, really on the film Victor Frankenstein. But besides that, we are actually starting to write a Vincent Van Gogh screenplay. And Max Landis is a huge inspiration for both of us. My sister and I, we've had the idea for this Vincent Van Gogh screenplay for a few years now, but it was really reading and falling in love with the Victor Frankenstein script that actually gave us the courage to really pursue it. I actually took a screenwriting class at UCLA because I love the Victor Frankenstein script so much. I have a script coverage job now because I fell in love with the craft of screenwriting because of the Victor Frankenstein script.
Yeah, we're not obsessed at all, you know?
No, not obsessed at all.
So how did we even get into wanting to read the script in the first place? And that actually kind of goes with me talking a little bit about myself. A few years ago, even though so many friends have told Lisa and I, which is this girl right here, to watch the BBC Sherlock, I don't know why we were so resistant. I think I knew it was going to take over my life, so we're kind of late on the train. But after season two aired, we just watched the show, and I think in like 2 days, like 6 episodes.
Whoa. Yeah, and we don't do that, for the record. It's actually kind of hard for me to sit Gina down and kind of force her to marathon TV shows. I don't know, because Gina is kind of a perfectionist. She always feels like she has to be doing something. But I'm more of like, well, hey, art inspires us to do things. So the more art that we take in, the more art that we'll put out.
Yes, so we marathon the show in 2 days. And honestly, after I watched The Great Game, which is the third episode of season one of the BBC Sherlock, I became unhealthily obsessed with Andrew Scott. And it has literally not stopped in like the past, like what, like 2 to 3 years? Like, he has been my favorite actor. I'm beyond obsessed with him. So it was announced probably, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
That Paul McGuigan so infamously tweeted on Twitter that Andrew Scott was joining the cast of what was then called Frankenstein. And after that, I was like, oh man, like, he's in this big blockbuster movie, like, it stars James McAvoy and Daniel Radcliffe, like, what is going on? This is Andrew's first blockbuster. Why is he in a blockbuster? It felt almost as if he was like selling out in a weird way. But then it got me thinking, if these three amazing actors are in a blockbuster type film, then it has to be good, right? I kind of got scared because Mark Gatiss is also in it, and I was thinking like, oh, do they just want to work with Paul McGuigan again? Because Paul McGuigan has directed the majority of the BBC Sherlock episodes. So I was like, oh, maybe Andrew just wants to be in it because of that. So I was a little skeptical about this film, but I was still excited that more people were going to know who Andrew Scott is. So it's a little bit about me, at least my obsession with Andrew Scott.
And so we actually have, you know, we live in Los Angeles. We moved here a few years ago to pursue our songwriting and our being recording artists together. But also, you know, we have such a love of film and movies, and we have a lot of friends that are in the movie industry. And so one of our friends is actually a friend of Max Landis's, and they had a copy of the Victor Frankenstein script. It's a draft of it. So we're still not sure how much of the draft that we read is going to be in the film. We don't know if any of it is going to be in the film, but it is a draft of the Frankenstein screenplay, which is what it was called 2 years ago.
So I remember kind of trying to skim through the pages, trying to look for just Andrew Scott's character, which his name is Roderick Turpin. And out of context, it didn't seem that great. Honestly, like I got kind of scared because, and once you guys see the film, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But you never read a screenplay out of context and only read certain scenes. I know this now. So I read a few scenes, then I just kind of gave up on it until the set picture started coming out. I'll never forget that one day where I guess there's a whole bunch of paparazzi because Daniel Radcliffe and Andrew Scott were in a scene together and they were leaving the area that they were filming and they were in costume. And the first thought I thought was, oh, poor Andrew, like he's not used to like paparazzi being all around him. And Daniel Radcliffe is obviously. And he was being really cute, like signing for his fans and stuff. And Andrew looked fierce and their costumes look so like lush and incredible. So my second impression of the film was how amazing the costumes looked.
Yeah, they looked really great. We're really excited. And honestly, at that point, like any opportunity to see Andrew Scott in something, in another role other than Moriarty was like a cause for celebration. And we've obviously loved Daniel Radcliffe since Harry Potter. But we still weren't the hugest Daniel Radcliffe fans, you know?
Yet.
I mean, obviously, if you've seen Harry Potter and you enjoy the films, you're a fan. But there's a difference between, oh yeah, that one guy from Harry Potter and, oh my God, I love Daniel Radcliffe and he's great in this movie. We weren't that yet. And then obviously James McAvoy, obviously we had seen him in Atonement, obviously we had seen him in Wanted, and we saw both of those films in theaters and we loved him, but he still wasn't in that favorite actor category
yet.
So basically there was this very eventful day in March of this year where there was this adaptation panel going on in Los Angeles as a part of this amazing writing group called Writing Pad that actually puts on writing classes and writing workshops and panels and things like that. And Max Landis was a part of this adaptation panel. So it was somewhere in Los Angeles, this really cool place. It was like an art gallery, but they kind of had like a stage with like seats and stuff like that. And it was actually super last minute. We were at the Apple store at the Grove getting our iMac fixed. And all of a sudden Gina kind of tells me, hey, there's that adaptation panel tonight. And I kind of forgot who was a part of the panel. I was like, oh, I mean, yeah, that's cool. Cause we are, you know, trying to write a screenplay from a book. That would be cool to, you know, attend an adaptation panel. And then Gina's like, no, but like, do you remember who's a part of it? And I was like, oh no. And she's like, Max Landis. And I'm like, okay, that kind of sounds familiar, but I don't know who that is. And she's like, he wrote the Frankenstein script that Andrew Scott's a part of. And I'm like, hold on. And so the funny part is, really, we went in going to that panel hoping to speak to Max Landis because all we wanted to do was find out more information about Andrew Scott's mysterious role in Frankenstein.
Yes, because obviously if you guys have ever read Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, clearly Roderick Turpin is not in the book. So he's
neither is Igor.
Neither is Igor. Yes,
for that matter.
And actually, I want to do a quick side story in a second. But so I was always curious, like, why is Roderick Turpin in this film? Like, why is this film called Frankenstein or Victor Frankenstein? Like, who's Turpin? Who's Lorelai? Who are the other characters? I kind of wanted to ask Max, besides about Andrew Scott, just about how did you create original characters that also fit in with the originals? And like, where'd you even come up with that? So quick side note, even before all of this, before I found out that Andrew Scott was going to be in the film, before we got a draft of the script, but we never even read it besides the Andrew Scott scenes, our good friend, which I will not name, but you know who you are, years ago said, "Hey, I'm really sad." And we're like, "Hey, what's up?" And she's like, "Matt Smith was supposed to play Igor in this new movie, but someone beat him for the part. And I was really excited for him because I wanted him to be the lead of a new movie." And we're like, "Oh, like, who beat Matt Smith for Igor?"
Yeah, who could beat Matt Smith, yeah, right? And like, that was incredible. Like at the prime of, you know, his Doctor and Doctor Who. Like his run was about to end. So obviously he was auditioning for movie roles and stuff like that. So we asked my friend, "Oh, so who beat Matt Smith?"
And she's like, "Daniel Radcliffe." And I don't know, she was trying to look for us to say something like, "Oh man, like that sucks. Like Matt Smith would have been better," even though she loves Daniel Radcliffe. But like Lisa and I just kind of paused and we're like, "Oh, well, he's a good actor." Like,
and that was crazy because, again, you know, we weren't the hugest Daniel Radcliffe fans at that point, but we still knew, oh, wow, I want to see Daniel Radcliffe play Igor.
Yeah.
I want to see him be the lead of a Frankenstein film. Like, that just sounds really exciting.
And she told us that this film, like, Igor is the main character. Like, it's told through the eyes of Igor. So, what? Like, sign me up. I was still confused, though, because obviously Daniel Radcliffe is way too cute to,
yes, he's very attractive.
play Igor, but that still fascinated me.
Right.
And what a role for him to take on. Like, another, like, the next iconic role he would take on besides Harry Potter is Igor, and that's very telling. So,
right.
That was the quick.
So, Daniel Radcliffe was cast, and then James McAvoy was cast, and then we were all excited. We were like, oh man, okay. So, James McAvoy is going to play Victor Frankenstein. That's so exciting. And then, when obviously we talked about when Andrew Scott was cast, we were over the moon. And then to set pictures and all that. Okay, so now we're back to March of this year. So we're sitting in the adaptation panel. It's Max and Seth. So yeah, he wrote Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. They were actually having an incredible panel about different movies and how you adapt books from movies. And Max kind of answered, you know, how he even started writing Victor Frankenstein.
And I actually love this story.
Yeah, it's a great story. So basically, he's going to tell it way better than we ever will. But essentially, he was kind of having an argument with an ex-girlfriend. And she said, you know, all you ever do is treat me like Igor. And he's like, what does that even mean? Like, what do you mean, Igor? So he was so confused by that he literally started researching Igor. And he had realized that he wasn't really a character that's ever been focused on. Like, there hasn't really been a serious movie that delves deep into Igor, the character of Igor, and his relationship with Victor. So he kind of became obsessed with that idea. He watched, like, almost every single Frankenstein movie ever, every single movie that even had an Igor-like character. And he just became so obsessed that he started writing this film about friendship and love and danger and this idea that someone could make life out of death. And so, yeah, I love that story. I think that's so funny that he took like,
what does that even mean?
What does that even mean? Igor. I don't know. I think that's fascinating. So anyway, so after the panel, Gina was actually super starstruck because she had been following Max Landis on Twitter for at least a year.
Right.
I didn't. You know, I didn't really know who the guy was. I didn't know who his dad was. I didn't know, like, what. I knew Max Landis had written Chronicle, which I've heard is actually fantastic. I actually haven't seen it yet because Gene and I have trouble with movies like that, like Cloverfield. But I heard Chronicle isn't too bad with that, so we'll definitely see. And I adore Dane DeHaan, so we'll see it at some point. But anyway, I was still just kind of like, this guy is so crazy and
awesome
and brilliant and outspoken and kind of a genius, but I don't know what to feel about him, you know.
Whereas I was completely starstruck again as soon as I found out Andrew Scott was cast. That was a tipping point for me, and like I followed Max Landis on Twitter, and you know, I tried to read some of the script.
Right, so she was super starstruck. So this probably went on for 30 minutes where all Gina and I did was try to inch closer and closer to Max Landis. And by the way, okay, we sound like creeps because we keep saying, oh, I'm obsessed with Andrew Scott. I'm obsessed with Victor Frankenstein. I'm obsessed with Daniel Radcliffe. And now we're like creepily like we're being weird in the party. We're not weird, I promise. I'm just saying.
That's what they all say.
That's what they all say. You know, and other people were going up to Max Landis. It wasn't just us. But, you know, they weren't scared, you know, because we kind of had a very specific goal. We just really wanted to find out more about Andrew Scott's role because we were like, oh, does he play the villain? Is he a hero?
Does he eventually turn into the monster?
Yeah,
like who is this turpin guy?
Right, because it's Andrew Scott. If you cast Andrew Scott in a movie, it's got to be an amazing role. You know what I mean? But anyway, so we kept overhearing different things that people said. And actually, two people told Max, oh, yeah, I saw a test screening for Victor Frankenstein. And Max kind of seemed kind of nervous. And I was like, wow, okay, all right. There's that awesome humanity in you that I haven't seen because Max actually hasn't seen it. And the two people that were talking to him, they're like, oh, we loved it. It was amazing. So, you know, then Max kind of went around the party. And so then Gina and I went up to these two awesome people. And we were like, hey, so how is it? And they were like, oh, it's great. We loved it. Like, I wanted to see it again as soon as I finished it.
And of course, I got super excited. I was like, so how's Andrew Scott in the film? And they, like, both look so lost. They're like, who?
And that's, you know, that's not what we want to hear, you know.
And I was thinking, oh, man, he barely has any lines. Right. Like, he's not good.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, have you seen Sherlock? And they're like, oh, no. And I was like, oh, okay. That made me feel better.
Sigh
of
relief.
Yeah. So then we're like, oh, he plays Turpin? And they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That guy's great.
Yeah. And, like, something happens at the ending. Oh, well, never mind.
Yeah.
We won't tell you about
that. I don't want to spoil it. We're like, ooh. That was like perfect, right? So anyway, after we stopped being creepers and we're, you know, especially Gina, she's too scared to talk to Max Landis. I kind of force us to walk up to him because, you know, now the party's starting to unwind. People are starting to leave, stuff like that. The food's running out. The drinks are running out.
I just wanted to ask a simple question.
Yeah. So anyway, Gina was super nervous and I was like, hi. And Max is like, hi. And he was super like sassy and awesome. And I was like, she has a question.
And Lisa, like, pushes me forward, and I stuttered, I know I did, and I don't even remember what I asked, but I asked something along the lines of, can you tell me how you created Turpin, Roderick Turpin? And he's like, what? He seems so confused, and I'm like, oh, like, how did you get the inspiration to create Roderick Turpin? And he's like, why do you want to know? And I was like, oh, God, like, in my head, I was like, he must hate me. He must think I'm like the weirdest like creeper ever. Like, why is he asking that? And I was like, oh, well, I'm just a huge like Andrew Scott fan. He's like, oh, okay. Well, Turpin. And he got like super excited and just like opened up and probably couldn't stop talking for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, he was literally fangirling about Turpin and Andrew Scott. And it was incredible. And essentially,
well, before he started going into that,
yeah, then he kind of started talking about more about Victor Frankenstein and who the characters are. And this is a moment I don't think I'll ever forget. And this is kind of my trademark.
Wait,
I feel
is
like
it the D-Rod moment or
your moment? Oh, no. My moment.
Okay, your moment. And then we'll talk about the D-Rod. Yeah.
Well, actually, so Max called Daniel Radcliffe handsome, which was hysterical.
He's like, oh, and Daniel Radcliffe plays Igor. Or no, the handsome Daniel Radcliffe plays Igor.
Yeah, and it was really funny.
At least, and I laughed. It's great.
But my claim to fame, I feel like, in this fandom, and I'll get to another reason later, is I feel like I'm the pioneer of the ship Igor Stein, which is Victor and Igor. Again, I hadn't read the script at all. Gina only read the Roderick Turpin scenes. I didn't really know, you know, about the Igor and Victor bromance. I didn't know that that was something that was in the film or a part of the film. Like, I didn't really know that, but I kind of had an idea. I'm like, hello, it's James McAvoy and Daniel Radcliffe. Like, they're going to have so much chemistry. Victor and Igor, like, when you think about them, it's like very, like, this very abusive but kind of interesting relationship. And there's this whole, you know, like, slave master kind of weird thing going on. You know, I just had that idea.
Just for you,
maybe that's just me. But basically, Max is like, well, yeah, you know, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, Victor and Igor, like, they like love each other. Well, not like that. And I was just like, yeah, uh-huh. And like, Max just gives me this look, but then he just keeps talking. And I just, looking back at that moment now, I can't believe I so bluntly just told Max Landis, yeah, no, like, Victor and Igor love each other, like that.
Well, again, because Lisa wasn't as starstruck as I was. Lisa was just, you know, being herself.
I was just talking to this cool guy that is a screenwriter,
right.
And he's written a lot of movies, which is cool, but, like, I, you know, I didn't
It was great.
Yeah.
Great.
So yeah. So anyway, so he literally went on for 20 minutes, like fangirling about, you know, Turpin and Andrew Scott. And he actually started kind of delving deep into the themes of the movie about religion versus science, and how back then in that Victorian era, like towards the end of it, medicine and the whole idea of a hospital that's clean and that helps people not die, essentially, and survive was very new in that era. So he thought it would be really interesting to set the world of Frankenstein and bringing people back to life in that time. And I think that's brilliant. Like,
well, I love that he started going on about that when he was talking about Roderick Turpin.
Yeah, that was
like,
that was,
he couldn't even start talking about the character until
he talked about the themes. And, yeah. And basically what I'm trying to say is Max Landis, he is a genius. Like, just listening to him talk about the themes of a movie is just absolutely fascinating. And if you guys ever watch any of his YouTube videos or ever get a chance to talk to him in real life, please do, because suddenly this slightly very energetic, almost obnoxious guy who I knew nothing about except that he had written movies that sold and are getting made with huge stars and all this stuff, I just saw this man who loves to write, and he loves storytelling, and he loves movies so much, and he's such a geek, and he's just a genius. Like, honestly, like, I know, like, I might be biased because then I read the script and I think it's brilliant, but he's just, I don't know. I think this may be, I don't, you know what? I don't think this is too early to say. I think he's going to make a mark in film history. I really do.
Definitely.
I think he's the perfect modern voice for screenwriting right now. He just understands characters and themes. And he, in a way, it's like, if you think about a slightly more edgy Joss Whedon. But we'll get into the script in just a second. Anyway, sorry. Now I'm fangirling about Max Landis, and I will continue to do so until...
So great. Now we're obsessed with Andrew Scott and Max Landis. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, he was a great guy. We took a really funny selfie. And you know, because then once I started to hear him talk, I started kind of getting like, okay, wow, he's a genius. And now I'm kind of a little nervous. So I was like, can we take a picture with you? And he's like, yeah. And he literally took Gina's phone and we did a selfie. And I don't know what he was doing, but he took multiple selfies. And he just had this monstrous face, almost like he was Victor or the monster. And like, it's really hysterical. And he's such a great, nice guy. He's
and,
just really great.
You should repost that pic,
Lisa. Yeah, I will. I definitely will.
Eager Stone website or Twitter.
Yeah, on my website, Tumblr, Twitter. I definitely will.
Because it's really funny.
Yeah, he's hysterical. I adore that man. I don't know him, but just what have known of him, he's great. So anyway, so that night, I don't know, after Gina and I went home, we actually started blasting Electric Chapel by Lady Gaga in the car. And I thought, wow, this is like kind of a perfect song for Victor Frankenstein. Like, just the themes of it, of love and this twisted kind of relationship between two people, that it's safe and abusive, and Electric Chapel kind of meant the lab and all these things to me. So if you guys have never heard that song, please do
play it.
Yeah, maybe we will play it. But yeah, please do, because I cannot not think about Victor Frankenstein to that song. And if you listen to it, you might get a little sense of maybe the tone a little bit, who knows.
And we actually have a whole playlist of songs that we think fit the film, but that'll be on a whole other topic for another podcast, so
yeah,
stay tuned for that.
But anyway, so we're blasting that song. I got really excited, and then literally when Gina and I got home, like, we just couldn't stop talking about how awesome that whole panel was.
Oh, and by the way, when we talked to Max about Roderick Turpin, he basically spoiled a lot of the film.
Yes,
for us.
He did. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. That's really important. Max basically spoiled like the majority of Turpin's character arc. And so then at that point, I was like, you know what, Gina? Maybe we should just read the script now, because now we kind of know what happens to Turpin.
Yeah, because again, taking Turpin scenes out of context, and like, I was just confused that Daniel Radcliffe was playing Igor. So I kind of had this like weird, stupid, negative connotation about it. So the next day, during work, like during our breaks, during our lunches, we obsessively read that entire script. And every time we would see each other at work, I'm like, what page are you on? Where are you? What just happened? Oh man, this is crazy. And like, I just don't remember getting that excited about reading almost anything, like almost any book or any other like script or play that I've read or like fanfic or whatever. Like I just never got that happy and sad and like so invested in these characters. Like it's honestly one of the best things I've ever read in my entire life. And, yeah. and that's not even like an exaggeration. Like,
no, it felt almost like I was reading the very first episode of the BBC Sherlock
yeah.
or a Buffy episode or something that Stephen Moffat just wrote, except edgier and younger and more modern and hip. And it's really hard to explain, but I guess, so yeah, basically we read that entire script in one day, and we were working, by the way, and I remember finishing it and thinking, I love these characters. I have literally just fallen in love with a whole new world, a whole new set of characters. I love the dialogue. I love the plot lines. I love the story.
And yeah, that's the next segment of this podcast, is like what we love about the script. Like, I just, when I was reading, especially when it started getting towards like the third act and like the final battle, if you will, like my heart was racing. My heart was pounding. I didn't get this excited, like, unless I was watching a Sherlock episode or watching a finale of a Buffy season or like, and I was just reading. I couldn't imagine watching the film, but like, again, that's how invested you got in these characters in this world. It's brilliant, honestly.
Yeah, so I guess, Gina, once you finished reading the script, what did you love about the Victor Frankenstein, it was called Frankenstein. What yes. did you love about that script?
Oh man, the characters are so rich and the character relationships are so complex, and Max wasn't afraid to go there, to delve into the darkness, but also the lightness and the beauty and the horror of real life relationships. And there's a relationship for every kind of relationship you have in real life. And yeah, it's the characters, honestly. That's what makes you care about any story.
Right.
You can have an amazing story, an amazing plot, but if the characters aren't there, if you don't want to like take them home with you after you experience either reading something or watching something or listening to a song, like if it doesn't stick with you, then it's almost pointless. And like,
right.
These characters like became a part of my like heart. Like, I know this sounds crazy, but well, the first thing I thought was I really hope there's a sequel because I can't let them go.
Yeah, it really is. It really is that good. And something that I learned a little bit more while I was taking my screenwriting class is it's just every single act of that screenplay that I read is so entertaining, exciting. Like Gina said, just reading the screenplay kept me on the edge of my seat. There was a twist and turn in every page. The dialogue is so funny and so witty. It really is like Joss Whedon. And it actually makes me really happy because Max Landis, back when, that's a whole other podcast that we'll never get to. But like when the whole Joss Whedon Twitter, Black Widow, Avengers Age of Ultron thing was going on, Max Landis was defending Joss Whedon and he was like talking about Buffy. And how Buffy is so amazing. And that made me so happy because Buffy is my favorite show of all time. But it makes me, I know that Max Landis, it just has such a knowledge of what good writing is. And he has such a knowledge of pop culture that in a way he knows what audiences want. In fact, he knows what audiences want that we haven't seen yet. And that's what Victor Frankenstein is. Like, and not to stereotype Tumblr. I adore Tumblr. I love Tumblr. I'm a part of Tumblr. Like sometimes certain fandoms, including myself, sometimes can get a little, you know, a little heated and you know, things kind of get down in shipping wars and, you know, oh, the writing in this Sherlock episode sucks or whatever. But it really does seem like because Max is such a geek and he's so in love with just great characters, Victor Frankenstein literally feels like the movie for Tumblr, and not in a bad way. But what I mean by that is it's intelligent and it's rich, and the relationships, like there's so many ships, and I'm not saying like, hello, I'm a shipper, but if you're not, that's totally okay. Like I personally mean like you could ship people in this movie romantically. You can just like their relationship in general. Like,
it's that's how just, complex the writing is.
Right. So it's literally, it's literally made for Tumblr in the best way possible. Like, I can't wait for the GIF sets. I can't wait for the fan art. I can't wait for the amazing fan fiction. Like, these characters are so intelligent. Max Landis does not insult its audience. He knows how smart we are. He knows how much we are longing for a Sherlock and John type character, but in, you know, for the big silver screen. And that literally is what Max Landis has brought. It's almost scary. It's almost like Max, because he wrote the screenplay a few years ago. It's like he knew what audiences wanted years from when he wrote it.
Right.
That is just how perceptive he is. Man, I this whole podcast can just be complimenting Max Landis, but yeah.
Another thing that really got me, and this isn't a spoiler, it's been said, especially after Comic-Con, like, it's Igor's story. Like, how did Igor come about? How did he meet Victor? How did they form this relationship?
Right.
So it's almost in a weird way, at least the beginning of the film, is like a prequel.
Well, it's essentially like an origin story.
Yeah.
It's also, in a small way, a coming of age story.
Right.
And I know Tumblr and myself, we love stories like that. This movie does not start halfway through Igor's and Victor's story. This truly is the beginning of Igor's story and how his life becomes extraordinary because of Victor Frankenstein. And then obviously there's very dark elements to that relationship as well. But yeah, so basically the characters, the story, the plot lines, the dialogue, Max Landis, it is so incredible. And it feels like this script I've seen before, but I've never seen it before. And I think I feel that way because I've always wanted to see a movie like this that's exciting and romantic and dramatic and funny and scary and sad. It's because you know how Joss Whedon blends all of those genres into his shows? That's what this movie does. And not a lot of things do that. And he somehow managed to blend all of these genres together seamlessly.
And even the villains of the film you actually care about, and they're complex. And,
right.
And they're funny. And
yeah, it's just, got it. Yeah. All right. So I'm sure for the very rest of this podcast, until it ends some very sad day, I will just continue to compliment Max Landis. If he ever hears this someday, it's literally just us talking great things about Max Landis. So anyway, yeah. So essentially after we read the script, we became obsessed. And yeah, so then literally the very next day, I started a Tumblr blog literally devoted to Victor Frankenstein. This was back in March. I found all of the Victor Frankenstein. There wasn't a lot, but all of the times that Daniel Radcliffe mentioned Victor Frankenstein during his Horns promotion. I reblogged some of the set pictures of, there's this one that's really cute of James McAvoy and Daniel Radcliffe, and they're kind of dressed up in tuxedos and they have a cane. And James McAvoy's kind of,
I know what scene that is.
I'm super excited. And he's like twirling the cane around, and you know, and then there's the Wanted posters of the Hunchback, like a reward for the Hunchback. And it has like a picture of Daniel Radcliffe's Igor and James McAvoy's Victor Frankenstein. And man. So anyway, I started this Tumblr blog. All I did every single day whenever I went on Tumblr, and don't worry, guys, I have a life. Like, I write songs, I perform places, I have a job. Like, I sound crazy, but I'm a very stable person. It's just sometimes when I would go on Tumblr, the only thing I would do was look up any Victor Frankenstein news, any time that Daniel Radcliffe or James McAvoy ever quoted about it, any times Max Landis quoted about it, Paul McGuigan, Andrew Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so basically I just kind of started reblogging things, and then some people started following me, and I don't have too many followers, but the ones that do, I love you guys. And then it made me realize, wow, some people are really excited for this film. So I started the website. I've been obsessed for 5 months. It's been a very interesting journey for this film.
Yeah, because that's actually, I do want to focus on that on another podcast.
Yes.
But basically, it was supposed to come out last October. Then the release date got pushed back to January because James was in New York, so he couldn't film. And then it got pushed back to October. And then finally, it's pushed back to November 25th. And it's taken a while, guys, to finally get a trailer. But luckily, it was premiered at Comic-Con last Saturday, which Lisa and I got the honor and privilege, and we camped out to be in the third row center.
Oh, we put in the work, all right.
Yeah.
We camped out for 2 nights, okay?
True.
But no, so, we're very lucky.
So in the next podcast, and we'll talk more about topics that we'll do in the future, but we definitely want to talk about what our thoughts are on the actors in the film, what our introductions to them as actors are, what we've seen of them, and the journey Victor Frankenstein has been through. But we really want to focus on the Comic-Con panel.
Yes, because, you know, some I actually posted my thoughts on the trailer and the clip at Comic-Con on my Tumblr website. But if you have not read that, then great, because we're about to talk about our entire Comic-Con journey really quickly. So Sorry, my cat. He like banged into something, and there's some noise outside. And yeah,
it is the monster.
It is the monster, and we're kind of recording in a dark room right now, so it's kind of creepy. But I guess it you know sets the mood.
Sets the mood.
Yeah. So yeah. So sorry. So basically, we knew going into Comic-Con that there was going to be the Victor Frankenstein trailer premiered. We knew that Paul McGuigan, James McAvoy, and Daniel Radcliffe were going to attend, and we were freaking out. So we essentially started camping out on Thursday night. And our friends were great enough to actually stay that, you know, in line at night while we went to the hotel room. But then we went back in the morning and we stayed there all Friday during the day. We actually performed twice at Comic-Con at part of the Banff Festival, which is like a geek music festival at Comic-Con, and then again at the Sherlock CC party. So we actually performed twice that day as well, carrying around all of our music equipment and stuff. But then Friday night, that's when you get the wristband, and if you get a wristband, you're guaranteed to go into Hall H as long as you're in line by 7 o'clock. But because our friends camped out for us on Thursday night, we decided to stay for them, of course, on Friday night. So while Gina and I are camping out, of course, what's the one thing you'd think that we would do?
We are reading the Victor Frankenstein script.
Yes.
So it's probably midnight. It's freezing outside. We're below these tents getting ready to camp out all night.
Right.
To get into Hall H. And Hall H on Saturday, guys, that's where all the big movie panels go. And there's a lot of will they, won't they, like will there be a Victor Frankenstein panel at Comic-Con? Is Fox going to bring them? But finally, Daniel Radcliffe started posting on his Google Plus account that he was going to be there. And then Paul McGuigan, the director, tweeted that he was going to introduce Victor Frankenstein with Daniel and James. So just a few days before this, it was finally confirmed that they were going to be there after much speculation on Lisa's blog.
Yes.
So we were stoked. And again, what better way to get us pumped up than to read the script?
Yes. And so we're reading this scene that we will talk about in just a second, but we're reading this very specific scene. And one of the lines that Victor says, and we'll get into, but you know, this is just worth mentioning, is he says, "Presentation in Hall H." And it's a really funny line. And Max Landis, as you know, is a huge geek. And he's been to Comic-Con a million times. He knows what Hall H is.
And basically, to set up the scene a little bit, Victor is presenting his first creation to his school, to his college that he's attending. And Igor is with him as his assistant. And so he's basically trying to get a lot of students, like he's rallying a lot of students to come and watch this presentation. So that's why he's like yelling and screaming out, like, "Presentation in Hall H." And again, Lisa and I always figured that that was almost like a quick little Comic-Con wink. Because what are the odds that a geek would write Hall H?
Right.
Like, Max Landis has been to Comic-Con.
Like, and he knows what Hall H is. Like, you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure halls in schools aren't called Hall H, you know?
And even if it is, like, Lisa and I are sitting there camping out for Hall H, and we're reading these lines, presentation in Hall H. So it was,
and we're waiting for the Victor Frankenstein panel in Hall H.
It was very like meta, you know.
Yeah,
but you know, we thought we were funny and clever, and no one else knew. Yeah, we were like,
look what we're reading, but everyone was sleeping and no one was paying attention. So we camp out. It's freezing, and yeah. So then we're led into Hall H. Long story short, we were in the 7th row to the left, but then all of a sudden, some very nice souls left after the Warner Brothers Superman versus Batman
panel,
which was the first panel of the day. They were sitting 3rd row center. And that's where Gina and I sat. We sat third row center in Hall H.
Which has 6,500 people.
Yeah.
6,500 people.
And we're third row center. Like, I'm not going to get into all of the celebrities that were in that room, all of the movies and the trailers and all of that. That can be a whole podcast. But essentially, Fox has the very last panel of that day.
Well, Warner Brothers Television did, but Fox had the second to last
one. Right. But I guess like the one. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. So Fox had the last movie.
Yes.
Panel of that day.
So it started around like 5:45.
Yeah. 5:45. So again, you know, so Maze Runner is up first and I'm like freaking out. I'm like shaking. That is how excited I am. Like after 5 months of obsessively reading the script, of running this Tumblr website, of building another website that's just going to be focused on Victor Frankenstein, of having ideas of running a Victor Frankenstein podcast. I'm already thinking of getting a Victor Frankenstein tattoo. I want to get a line from the script because I honestly, like I said, that script really did change my life. It made me fall in love with the craft of screenwriting. And I know my life will never be the same because of it, you know, all joking aside, like, and I was going through a really tough time, but anyway. So essentially, after the Maze Runner panel, I see one of the Comic-Con ladies kind of hold three name cards. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. It's Paul McGuigan, Daniel Radcliffe, James McAvoy. I know it. So then she put the name cards on the table. And sure enough, it's Paul McGuigan, Daniel Radcliffe, and James McAvoy.
And Lisa and I have always wondered how they would be together. Like Daniel and James, like in the Empire Awards earlier this year, they were just such goofballs. Like any pictures they took together were hysterical. Like when they presented the award on stage, they were just sassy and funny together. And if any of you guys are Daniel Radcliffe or James McAvoy fans, you know that they can be like that. But together, for some weird reason, just like amped it up.
Yeah, they're so alike. It's very cool. Yeah. Their personalities are just very, like, they're just very sassy and funny, and they joke around a lot. So anyway, then Chris Hardwick starts saying, okay, so we're going to premiere, you know, the world premiere of the Victor Frankenstein trailer. I start screaming. Like, I literally start screaming, and I can't take
it. So to be clear, none of the actors and Paul haven't been on stage yet.
Yeah.
It's just Chris Hardwick. We see the name cards get put down on the table, and it has their three names. This is the moment we've been waiting for like 5 months.
Yeah.
And we're in the third row center.
Right. And we just camped out the night before, and we had just eaten terrible nachos and, like, soda all day, because that's the only food in Hall H, and you can't leave Hall H. It's just this whole thing. So the lights dim. Gina and I hold each other's hands so tightly, and we're freaking out. I think I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, I couldn't handle it.
And really think about this, like, no one else in Hall H, I mean, that's an exaggeration. There's a lot of Harry Potter shirts that day, but
Sherlock fans too.
And Sherlock fans. But there's probably a lot of people that have never even heard about this movie. So they're like, okay, what is Victor Frankenstein? If they have heard about it, they're obviously not as excited as we are. Because we know a little bit more about it, you know, than the average like person in Hall H, I feel like.
Right.
So we're like screaming at the top of our lungs, and we're the third row center. Like people around us were like, what the heck?
Yeah, like why are these girls screaming? Like, okay, it's James McAvoy and Dana Radcliffe. That's great, but like, why are they screaming? But here we are. We've read the script a million times. I'm wondering, how is Victor and Igor going to sound like? What scenes are going to be in this trailer? What lines are going to be in this trailer?
How is it going to be shot?
Is it going to be different than the screenplay that we've read? Like it's just all these things happening. So anyway, the trailer's going on. I'm freaking out. As soon as Andrew Scott shows up and you hear his voice, we start screaming at the top of our lungs.
But so does so many other people in Hall H. And it's always been a weird dream of mine, since I'm such an obsessive fan of his, for him to be in a trailer, in a panel, in Hall H, and like see if he gets any support. Like how much has Andrew Scott like grown as, you know, in popularity? And like so many people were freaking out as soon as like he said his line.
It was amazing. Like people were screaming, and I'm like, yes, Andrew. Like no one did that for Daniel and James. You know, like it was just really cool. It was awesome.
It's surprising to see
Andrew Scott write in something else other than Sherlock, you know, like if you see like a trailer. But anyway, thoughts on the trailer in just a second. So the trailer finishes. Gina and I continue to freak out. We don't know what's happening. Like this is crazy. We just saw the trailer of Victor Frankenstein. Like, and then James and Daniel walk out. And
with Paul McGuigan,
and we're screaming, and I love Paul, and I love James, and I love Daniel. Like, we're screaming at the top of our lungs, like, whatever. So quick Lisa's... thoughts about the panel really quickly, because I'm sure some of you guys have seen it. If you haven't,
please do.
Essentially, the entire panel is James and Daniel flirting, talking about the homoeroticism of Victor Frankenstein. They say sexual innuendos.
And this isn't an exaggeration.
No, it's not. I'm not even kidding. You know, it's like my dream panel. I couldn't even dream that panel up. So, but the panel starts and Paul McGuigan is kind of talking about the dynamic between Victor and Igor. And honestly, I think I started the whole tone for the panel.
It's all your fault.
It is all my fault. I'm sorry, Paul McGuigan. If you're listening to this, I want to apologize. I'm really sorry. You really wanted a serious panel and you were so excited to talk about Victor Frankenstein. And the thing is, Paul's wife on Twitter actually favorited and retweeted a tweet that I put, and I did a selfie with Gina in the Hall H line, and I'm like, we've been waiting for Victor Frankenstein since Thursday night. Like, so she probably, like, I don't know, tweeted that or like sent that to Paul and was like, hey, look, these like girls have been in line for two nights, you know. So there's all this hype and it's the first time Paul McGuigan's in Hall H and he's all excited. So he starts talking about the dynamic between Victor and Igor, and he literally says, oh yeah, so it's like this movie is like, it's about the love between Victor and Igor. And I go, whoa, whoa. And he's just like, oh, I mean, not like that or something like that. And I start cracking up. And then literally since then,
yeah,
the entire rest of the panel is literally about Victor and Igor's love for each other. And like James kind of talks about it too, you know. And Daniel does too. And it's like a really funny, like really kind of awkward thing. And so Daniel starts talking about, you know, to James, like, well, there was this one scene that we kind of hinted about the homoeroticism. And Chris Hardwick was like, oh, well, do you want to show us or do you want to just talk about it? And James McAvoy gets up and the thing, and he's like, okay, so I just want to let you know, like this was my first enduring image that, you know, I had from the first day of shooting. And Gina and I know the scene that James is referring to, by the way. And I'm not really going to go into it because no one really knows what the scene is about yet. But keep in mind that Daniel Radcliffe has talked about the scene before. And he has basically said that it was so physical that James kind of like bruised him.
And it's basically James like slamming him against a pillar.
Yes.
That's what Daniel has said in recent interviews.
So Gina and I, however, we know more about what that scene entails because we have read this, a draft of the screenplay. So I start filming this and I know what's about to happen, but essentially James McAvoy stands up without hesitation, and Dan's like super shy and kind of hesitant about it. James stands up, pats the wall just to make sure that it's like sturdy enough. He grabs Daniel while Daniel's like still kind of resisting, like trying to talk him out of it. James pushes Daniel against a wall and pins him and almost kind of like thrusts like his pelvis against him. And I am dying.
Yeah, Lisa, like, and I are dead at this point.
This is what is happening. Like, I can't even believe what I'm seeing. I can't believe the
like,
entire
is this real life.
The entire room goes crazy, and we cannot stop laughing, and we can't stop screaming.
It's honestly probably my favorite Comic-Con moment, and we were there when Tom Hiddleston dressed up as Loki.
Exactly. Like, yeah, and if anyone knows, like, I have a Loki tattoo. Like, I have Loki's helmet on my arm. Like, I love Tom Hiddleston and Loki, but I am so sorry. I never thought I would see James McAvoy pin Daniel Radcliffe against a wall. I even when I say that, I can't believe that actually happened.
Makes sense. How could it be?
So it's really funny. James and Daniel are laughing about it. The sexual innuendos continue, all this stuff, whatever. So then at the very end of the panel, Chris Hardwick says, oh, and we have a clip for you. And again, I'm dying. I thought we were just going to get the trailer. The trailer's enough, right? So the lights dim. Obviously, no one's allowed to take video or anything like that. So the clip starts, and guess what scene it is? It is the scene that Gina and I were reading the night before while we were camping out for Hall H. It literally starts with Victor saying, presentation in Hall H, presentation in Hall H. And everyone got the joke almost immediately.
Everyone started like clapping and cheering, and Lisa laughing. And I were dying.
And I was like, oh my God, like everyone got it. This is like the reason Max Landis, when he wrote that line, he never in a billion dreams ever would have thought that this film would have a panel in Hall H and that this clip would be premiered. And like Gina said, it was super meta, like, or meta, however you say it. It was incredible. I mean, for the clip to start like that. And then, by the way, this clip is actually one of my favorite scenes from the screenplay. So anyway, they show the clip. It's amazing. We're freaking out. And then, you know, so then the panel's over. Oh my God. You know, yeah. I was tweeting like a mad woman. I was trying to post stuff on Tumblr. I think
I'm so sorry, guys. Like, so Lisa was in charge of posting stuff on Twitter. I was in charge of posting stuff on her Tumblr, but I was clearly freaking out and dying. So I apologize. That's why there's no updates on her Tumblr. I'm sorry. I was too busy looking at James McAvoy pinning Daniel Radcliffe against the wall, but we were dying.
Yeah. So anyway, so blah, 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 blah. The X-Men panel was amazing. La, 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 la. Okay. So
that X-Men trailer. Though.
Yeah. That X-Men trailer. Oh my God. Cherrick. Okay. Sorry. Okay. And Jennifer Lawrence. Okay. So, and I actually told Michael Fassbender, I love you, Michael. And he like looked and pointed at me and I died. But anyway, so now we're going to actually talk about some of our thoughts about the trailer and the clip. And also, guys, keep in mind, if you want like a true description of the trailer, feel free to go on my Tumblr. But you know what? I'm actually going to pull that up. Yeah. I'm actually going to pull it up and we're going to kind of talk a little bit, because maybe you haven't seen my Tumblr post and you kind of want to know a little bit more about what I think about it.
And keep in mind, for months we've wondered how is Daniel Radcliffe gonna sound as Igor? How's his voice gonna sound? How about James as Victor? How is Andrew gonna sound as Turpin? And it just so happened that those three characters were the ones that were featured prominently in the trailer, so our minds could not compute. That's how excited we were.
So really quickly, before I actually read some stuff on my Tumblr blog, so Gina, what were your immediate thoughts while you're watching the trailer, right after the trailer? Like, what are some of the things that pop out at you?
Well, the first thing that popped out at me was almost every single line of the trailer was not in the draft that we read. So instead of actually getting upset and sad about it, I got really excited because it almost felt like the script that we read was a really good fanfic that Max wrote, and then the movie's gonna be like the final script. So I don't even have the movie spoiled for me anymore. Now right. It's gonna be at least a little different.
Right.
So that was my immediate first impression. My second one was, I absolutely love how the film looks.
Yeah.
Like, I think the trailer starts with like a wide shot of London and it just looks so, so dark yet like lively.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. The very colors gothic. Are really cool. Yeah, it's very gothic, but it's also kind of beautiful. Like, it's almost like, oh, sorry, I have Vincent Van Gogh on my mind. But like, if Vincent Van Gogh drew a gothic Victorian London, it's super dark, like Starry Night, but then it has colors like his sunflowers. You know, it's a very interesting mix. Yeah,
and it's really cool because it's almost like if Tim Burton and Guy Ritchie,
oh man, like, that's perfect. Yeah,
had a baby. That's yeah. what that trailer is, and like right. look how amazing that sounds, right?
Yeah.
Something
that I kind of noticed immediately was the tone of the film is actually very different than I thought. When you read the screenplay, it comes across as, yes, there are very exciting moments in the movie. There are action moments in the movie that are very, very well written and very exciting. But for the most part, it's a period drama. It's mm-hmm. a period drama about two men and their friendship and their love and their unique journey of trying to create life after death. And so to me, it always seemed like a very serious period drama that has almost every other genre mixed in, but primarily it's a period drama. But the tone of the trailer is very much action, adventure, comedy. Like, it's almost like, think of a Doctor Who episode, except you just amp up the stakes and the production value like 10 times. Like, that's really what it felt like. And I thought that was so interesting.
Yeah, it's a very unique choice. Very yeah. different than what we thought it would be, but not in a bad way.
No, not in a bad way. It's an interesting choice, but I think Paul McGuigan, what makes it so exciting for me is that, like, I love Sherlock so much. And if you think of that excitement of Sherlock, that's what he brings to the Victor Frankenstein story,
which,
I think.
Which is crazy because the story itself is already so exciting. So it feels very amped up, but in a really great way. Why don't we talk about the performances a little bit?
Sure. Yeah.
So I guess I'll start with Daniel Radcliffe, D-Rad. There'll be a whole podcast on what I think about him. But
yeah.
unfortunately, at least, and I've talked about this, Igor is the main character.
Yes.
The film is called Victor Frankenstein.
But it should be called Igor.
Yes, it should be called Igor. So already a little confusing marketing-wise. We were scared that Victor would be the main character of the trailer, and he is.
And so we were right.
Yes, we were right. So it's a little bit of false advertising. Unfortunately, Igor doesn't have too many lines in the trailer, which he should have the most lines. But with the few lines that Igor has, Daniel Radcliffe is going to nail it. When I was reading that the draft of the screenplay, there is literally no one else that can play this role, in my opinion. Like, it was almost as if it was written for him. So to finally hear him say the lines, and I always pictured like a sweet, innocent, like high-pitched voice, but his voice is actually lower than how he even normally speaks, and I love that. It's a very not obvious choice, and it's really cool to hear his voice sound like that. If you guys have seen A Young Doctor's Notebook on Netflix, if you haven't, please do check it out. I thought it was going to be more like that, but it's lower, and it's such a great choice for Igor, I think. But with that, Dan still has that like naivety to it, so it's a very great contrast, I think.
Yeah, I think Daniel Radcliffe is going to absolutely nail his role as Igor. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely the main character. I think he's going to lead the film beautifully. I think people are going to go away thinking, wow, Igor's such a great character, and Daniel makes him so likable, which is honestly the most important thing that you need for Igor. Like, right. As soon as I read the script, I was like, if people don't like Igor, literally, like, the whole movie might as well be a waste. And I think Daniel Radcliffe, in spades, has that that innate likability, but then because he's such a great actor, he also brings this subtlety and depth to it, right. As well. It's not just, oh, look, he's so cute. It's like, no, look, he's so cute, but also he's a fully developed character that only Daniel Radcliffe can do.
Yeah.
Kind of reminded me of like Deathly Hallows Part 2, kind of like, oh man, this guy. Give him the film. It's his.
Right.
He's going to carry it. And, right. And that's the sense that I got.
Can you speak about James McAvoy?
Oh my God, Lisa? I would love to speak about James McAvoy. James McAvoy. Okay. We will probably spend an entire podcast talking about what we think about all of the actors that are in Victor Frankenstein. That'll probably be the next one, actually. James McAvoy in the trailer. He is a rock star. It almost seems like the first time that you saw Benedict as Sherlock, or the first time that you see Matt Smith as the Doctor, that is literally what I felt. And don't get me wrong, like, I adore X-Men to death. Gina and I have actually seen First Class and Days of Future Past for the first time this past month. And I have fallen in love with Charles Xavier. And we actually saw the movie Filth, which I'll get into in a whole different podcast, but needless to say, I really, truly believe James McAvoy is one of the best actors working today. And let me tell you, no matter how many times I've read the screenplay, no matter how many amazing performances I've seen James do, nothing could have prepared me for how well he portrayed Victor Frankenstein. It
yeah.
is absolutely amazing.
He's honestly the surprise
yeah.
for me
yeah.
from that trailer, from that panel. Like,
oh, man.
He sounds like Kenneth Branagh playing Victor Frankenstein, but
yeah.
but a little different, a little
yeah.
crazier,
yeah,
which I love. I didn't get a crazy vibe, at least from the screenplay I wrote. I mean, a little bit, obviously.
Right.
Victor always has to be a little crazy, but like James McAvoy like amps it up, and in a way only he can do.
Exactly. It truly is, like I said, his Sherlock, his Doctor. Like, I really think this role, it's like he was born to play Max Landis's Victor Frankenstein.
Yes.
Like, it, I can't even handle it. His voice literally sounds like, I don't know if any of you have seen Filth, but it sounds like Bruce from Filth had a baby with Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock and also had another baby with Matt Smith's Doctor.
And they're trying to sound like Kenneth Branagh.
Right. Like, it's a lot lower. Like, I was expecting Victor to have a very clipped, like, high-pitched voice, but it's lower.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Everyone sounds lower than
yeah,
I imagined.
Lower than I thought, yeah.
yeah.
And, yeah, James, I can't. I mean,
he's going to be a rock star.
Yeah, the whole trailer was literally, like, Victor Frankenstein lines. Like, it was just his lines of dialogue, essentially. Like, with some Igor sprinkled in, but it's really, and he's so exciting. His Victor is just so exciting. And people, I think, are going to see a new character that they haven't seen before and they're going to fall in love with. And I honestly think that Victor Frankenstein, if it's as good as I think it's going to be, it's going to be a cult classic. And James McAvoy's Victor is going to be one of those iconic characters. I really, truly believe that if it achieves that level of cult classic.
I feel like it's the Victor that in film that we've always been waiting for. We've seen Benedict Cumberbatch as Victor Frankenstein.
Yeah, he's great.
Obviously, guys, Benedict is like one of the best actors of all time. You know,
right?
Not an exaggeration, but this one, he's more fun. He's zanier. He's charismatic. He's arrogant.
Like in the same way that like Sherlock and the Doctor are, but you love them anyway.
Right.
You know, he's flawed.
So
he's,
I guess we just love the way Max has written Victor.
And then James is just knocking it out.
James even
of the park.
Elevates it even more. So right. That's super exciting. Andrew Scott as Roderick Turpin, the man of the law.
Yes, a man of faith.
Again, his voice is lower than I imagined. I heard this like high-pitched, like Victorian Andrew Scott, but it's lower and dangerous sounding. And
yeah.
It's a new color to his voice that we've never seen before.
No, because it's completely different from Moriarty. But it's almost like if Moriarty was nicer and more calm,
yeah,
that's what Turpin sounds like, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah. Totally.
It's really interesting.
Again, like a curveball. Right. It's almost like Andrew and Daniel and James were like, you know what? Let's sound lower. but yeah, Andrew looks incredible. He looks very subtle and I don't know. He's going to nail it. The scenes he has in this film are going to push his acting ability. And if anyone knows Andrew Scott, him being pushed is like one of the best things that could happen. So.
Right.
I can't wait to see what you guys think of his character, because he's right. Definitely going to be a standout as well.
Yeah.
And in the trailer, there's a part where Turpin is talking to Igor and Igor responds back. And Turpin and Igor's relationship is probably my second favorite thing about the story, about the characters, about the script. And I think Andrew Scott and Daniel Radcliffe are going to nail it. And even just judging by the little sound clip that we get of their relationship in the trailer, I'd be really excited, you guys. They're just going to nail it. And during that day before Dan and James went to Hall H, they did a whole bunch of interviews, and like Daniel Radcliffe even mentioned Andrew Scott. So clearly they embraced and loved that relationship, Turpin and Igor.
There's also a scene in the trailer between Turpin and Victor.
Yes,
which is fantastic.
That's how the trailer ends.
And it's rightfully Lisa's, so. It's my favorite scene. It's my favorite scene, and I could not be more excited to watch these two acting giants have a scene. And that's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to spoil it. But I mean, you could imagine Andrew Scott and James McAvoy are going to have a scene together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. But yeah, so essentially the trailer, it was very fast paced. It was kind of cut very choppily. So to be completely perfectly honest with you guys, I don't remember too much of it. I remember the dialogue, but I think it's because I kind of had the dialogue from the script and stuff like that.
Right.
But I wish I could describe it more. It had Victor and James being super exciting and funny and kind of zany and you know, really interesting. And there's this one scene between him and Lorelai, played by Jessica Finley,
which is Igor's
kind of a
love interest,
bae. and it's really funny because she basically pronounces Frankenstein wrong. Like, I can't do it. It's like,
okay, it's like she's like Frankenstein.
Yes, it's so funny. And then Victor's like, it's Frankenstein. Like, and it's really funny and super witty, and you know, obviously a play on young Frankenstein. And but anyway, I really adore Jessica Finley's performance. Like,
sure.
I think she's very feisty. She has like an attitude, and I kind of love that, because when I was reading the script, like, she's a great character, but I think Jessica kind of puts this little interesting kind of like flavor to it that
for
I think
sure.
that it's going to be interesting, because I think a lot of people are going to love Victor and Igor together, and then they kind of see Lorelai as the rival. But I feel like some people like me who ship everything, or who just like, you know, well-written female characters and good relationships, like, I think I'm going to love Lorelai. And I think Jessica's performance so far, from what I've seen just from that one clip, she's going to be great. So yeah, anyway, and we also see a very brief very brief shot of the monster, and it's just its hand, and we hear breathing, and it's very creepy, and I totally called that. I knew that they weren't going to show how the monster looks like. They never will, really.
What I love about this version, and they talk about it during the panel, so please go watch the panel, you guys, is I feel like it's more realistic than yes. other versions of Frankenstein, and not to like talk bad about any other version, but like, I don't know. I feel like if a man was creating a man, it wouldn't look so perfect as like the green monster. Like,
right.
So I can't wait to finally see what the monster is going to look like. I bet it's going to look horrifying. Right. I know Paul McGuigan has said in the past that they use practical makeup
yes.
and it's not CGI. So yes. that's going to look phenomenal, especially in modern cinema.
Right.
So, but I also love that they only showed the hand of the monster. So that's really exciting.
Yes. All right. So then they showed the clip, and we can basically, so the trailer, I'm sorry, I wish I could talk more about it. They showed a shot of Victorian London. They show Victor being super sassy and funny and kind of like going around, and there's a party scene between him and Lorelai, so they're out somewhere in a party.
You see a whole bunch of shots of obviously Igor and Victor together,
right?
Which is only complemented by amazing witty dialogue,
right? That's really funny.
You see Turpin walking into this big building.
Yeah, it looks like a greenhouse almost.
Yep.
And then one of the shots that I remember the most is, you know, when it's the Turpin and Victor scene, they're just kind of sitting across from each other. And it's very, and Turpin said something like, you know, be careful, Frankenstein. Like, what is it?
Like, you're dealing with her.
Yeah.
Like, dealing with
you're
wrathful.
You're toying with wrathful forces. And yeah, it's really... So anyway, I wish I could remember the trailer.
One of my favorite shots, and Paul McGuigan's such a visual director. He's the one that came up with the text being on the screen for the BBC Sherlock. One of my favorite visual moments of the trailer is Igor's, like, trapped against this wall of all the wanted posters that have Igor and Victor drawn on them. And it's such a beautiful shot because I think the feeling that you get from the screenplay is fear. And
right.
you definitely get that from that shot, this like overwhelming wall of like Igor's face plastered everywhere. So
yeah, it's beautiful. This film is going to be beautiful. And Paul, like under his direction, he has really interesting camera angles that are not obvious. Because there's a lot of talking in this movie in a good way because the dialogue's brilliant. But if like, you know, I'm not a director, but if I were to direct it, I would just shoot them talking. You know what I mean? But no, he has just really interesting angles that are sometimes low, sometimes high, sometimes off to the side. It's really interesting. So anyway, so on to the clip. And I promise we'll be done with this podcast. It's gone on way too long, but that's just, you know, how it always is with our first podcast of anything. So essentially, I'm going to read out my notes that I took for the actual clip.
So again, the clip that they showed at the end is, interestingly enough, a word-for-word scene from the script.
Yes.
So that gets us thinking that the film script itself is the draft that we read, except with some new lines here and there.
And some new scenes.
Some new scenes, some scenes directly taken from the draft that we read.
Right.
Maybe some scenes are like switched out of order. It's all very interesting.
All right. So this is the description of the clip that they showed. If you're a Freddie Fox fan, be excited because he's absolutely incredible, but I'll get into that in just a second. So Victor and Igor are wheeling a gurney down a school hallway while Victor yells, "Big presentation in Hall H, presentation in Hall H, big presentation in Hall H." He's clearly trying to get other students' attention. It cuts to Victor and Igor in a lecture hall surrounded by four, maybe five students. It seems like Lorelai is there to witness what's going on. Victor stands in the center, a hideous creature lying on a table behind him, surrounded by equipment. Victor says, "Since the beginning of modern medicine, there has been an assumption regarding the states of mortality. Igor, would you prime the dynamo?" Igor looks at Victor with a smile and a nod. "Yes, master." Igor goes towards the equipment. Victor says, "I give you life by my own creation." Igor begins to power the machine. Victor says, "I have built this homunculus from various body parts. Lungs, heart, spine, brain. You, come get a closer look. Don't be shy. He won't bite." The students do gather closer, except Finnegan, played by Freddie Fox, doesn't. Victor says, "Now, by the miracle of electricity, I give you in 3, 2, 1, life." The creature bursts with flies, escaping it. the crowd of students get as far away from they can, and they cringe and murmur. Finnegan laughs as the crowd begins to disperse. Victor says, no, don't go. Igor, shock him again, harder. 3, 2, 1, now. Igor powers it again. Nothing. Finnegan says, Frankenstein, you've exceeded all expectations, even your own expansive mythos of strangeness and perversion, just an exquisite show of depraved lunacy. Igor, full charge, Victor orders again, ignoring the bratty student. Igor powers it again and accidentally shocks Victor and himself in the process. Finnegan continues to laugh and boast until the creature comes to life. Igor smiles triumphantly. Victor smirks. Do you see? It's alive. Suddenly, the monster breaks free, becomes violent, and takes a swing at Victor, knocking him backwards. The creature escapes out of the classroom and out onto the hallway. Igor, without hesitation, follows it out onto the hallway. He looks around slowly, carefully, when the creature comes out of nowhere. End of clip. Sorry, I'm not an actor. I apologize.
So one of the things that we definitely took from that was obviously A, that was word for word from the script. B, again, it's kind of edited a little choppy, but knowing the script as well, it seemed like there's some parts missing. So I feel like they only cut it together quickly to have a shorter clip to show.
Yes.
For Comic-Con.
That scene should definitely be longer in the actual film. But that's right. Usually how, you know, studios show clips is just like a shorter version of it that are missing a few lines.
Yeah. So we get to see more of James McAvoy playing Victor. Again, phenomenal, different, better than we could have ever imagined.
He's a rock star. Yeah. He just, and you know how James McAvoy is. Every line he says, you just want to pay attention. You just want to keep watching him.
Yeah, he just draws you to him whenever he's on the screen. Daniel Radcliffe.
He's so cute.
Surprising in this scene because when I'm reading the script in this part, I just see Igor as very subservient and obedient.
Right.
But Daniel does that, but he has this heart.
Yes.
Like, he really wants Victor to succeed. He gets really happy when the monster, like, you know, becomes
alive.
And I think it's so cute and surprising. That was really cool. That's D-Rad's little taste.
Yeah, like how cute Harry Potter is. Like how much heart he has without even trying. That's what Daniel has brought to Igor in the best way possible. And Freddy Fox. Okay. Finnegan is this posh, arrogant, rich kind of jerk who really does not like Victor. Like, you can tell, and I won't tell you if this is in the script or if, you know, like, this is just me kind of thinking. Like, obviously, Victor and Finnegan have been classmates for a while. And Finnegan just does not like Victor. He just doesn't like him. You know what
he's
I mean?
He's probably jealous.
He's probably jealous because Victor's
a
brilliant.
Little strange, to be honest.
Right,
like,
yeah,
he doesn't
he's
get along
strange.
Well with people.
No, he does
which
not.
Which is why Victor and Igor being friends are so
he's
cute.
He's adorable. It's kind of like Sherlock and John, you know what I mean? But yeah, Finnegan just doesn't like Victor. But the way that Freddy Fox stands, it is just hysterical. It is so overly, like, flamboyant. And his outfit is, like, so rich and, like,
fierce.
Like colorful and, like, fierce and too fab for you. Like, just very, just, like, almost obnoxious, but not too much. Not too campy where you're, like, you know. But I guess I just know Finnegan's character. And the lines, like, how Freddy says them is better than anything I could have ever thought of. Like, Freddy has really just taken this role and made it his own in the best way possible. Like, I know when Max sees that clip, I don't know if he has, you know, when he sees the movie eventually, he's just going to be so proud of Freddy Fox because I literally cannot imagine another actor that would perfectly portray Finnegan the way that Freddy Fox does. It's another he was born to play that role kind of thing.
And it's great because that's literally how every actor feels like
for me. Yeah. Yeah, no one else can play Igor.
No.
That's just Daniel Radcliffe. Literally no one else can play Igor. No one is the right age like him.
Yeah, you'll see what we mean once you watch the film.
Yeah, and you know, there's been a lot of talk about Victor and James McAvoy and all this stuff. Don't get me wrong. Igor has some of the most emotional scenes in the entire film, and I cannot wait to watch Daniel Radcliffe slay and, like, show everyone that hasn't seen Kill Your Darlings or Horns or What If or anything like that. Hey, I can act. I'm not Harry Potter. Wow. See, that motorcycle is very passionate about this. I can act. I'm amazing. you know, I've learned from the best actors my entire life. I've done Broadway, like I've done stage, like I'm amazing. And I know this movie is just going to be so good for him in that way.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I feel like a lot of people have only seen Harry Potter, kind of like us, except a few months ago, have only seen Harry Potter. And they're like, oh yeah, he's good, you know, because but obviously like Rupert Grint and Emma Watson are kind of more of the standouts because they have the more, you know, kind of eccentric roles in a sense. But like, guys, Daniel Radcliffe is going to kill it. He has some incredible scenes. Like I honestly can't wait to watch him do it.
And what makes it so great too is that a younger actor is supposed to portray Igor in Max Landis' story.
Yeah.
So he's supposed to be in his like early 20s. And like, let's be real. An actor in his early 20s, like, they're good. But like, who has as much experience as Daniel Radcliffe?
Right.
And he's just already such a seasoned actor. You just trust him. Right. So yeah, he's going to be phenomenal. And he was great in the clip as well. And again, you just like him. Just like him.
Yeah, you just do. You know, like you don't have a choice, really. So yeah, anyway, I'm so sorry. This podcast has gone way longer. I promise it won't be this long next time. But thank you so much for listening. And this podcast, you know, Gina and I talk about Victor Frankenstein every single day. There is not a single day that goes by that we don't talk about Victor Frankenstein. And we just decided, you know what? Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast about the Victor Frankenstein film. So if there's new news every week, we're going to kind of cover the news of the film of the week, whether it be promotional images, set pictures, interviews, maybe like reviews, like as things go along, as things get closer. But yeah, this is definitely going to be a weekly podcast. We're going to talk about maybe next time the different actors and what we've seen them in and how we think that what they've done in the past is going to inform their performances in the future. And obviously, keep in mind, you know, we're going to keep this podcast as spoiler-free as humanly possible. I am not going to be quoting from the script. I am not going to be, you know, spoiling anything about anything. Like, I am so protective of this screenplay and the story and the filmmakers that there is no way you're not going to get a spoiler out of us. Like, don't even try. You know what I mean? And to be honest, like, I don't really want to be spoiled either. The draft of the screenplay that we've read is not the final shooting script in the slightest. So I'm just as excited as you guys are. I have not seen the movie. Like, I've read a draft that could be completely different than what we see in the movie. So yeah, so just think of us as two very passionate fans. So yeah, so next week we're going to talk about the different actors, what we've seen them in, how we think that what they've done in the past is going to inform their future in the film. And I think we're definitely going to continue to watch maybe more of Freddie Fox's and Jessica Finley's performances. Maybe we'll even kind of review some movies that they're in and again, talk about their performances. And I kind of actually want to start watching different Frankenstein movies and kind of see like if Max has taken, you know, I'm sure he has, you know, oh, so this movie in the 30s, Max took this. And again, not spoiling, but you know, if it's obvious, we'll talk about it. So we're going to talk about the actors, the work that they've done in other films. We're going to talk about Frankenstein, other Frankenstein movies. We're going to might even do a review on the Mary Shelley book. So yeah, everything that you could possibly think about Victor Frankenstein, we will definitely do. And honestly, I actually have two exclusive interviews lined up with Sierra McAvoy, who has done a version of the Victor Frankenstein poster. And if you guys haven't seen any of her painting of the poster, it is absolutely gorgeous. She is such a talented artist. So I'm going to have that exclusive interview probably in a week or so. And then I actually have an interview with the storyboardist of the film. So I'm really excited to interview him. I don't know when I'm going to get that interview back, but I'm really excited about that. So yeah, so interviews, reviews, the weekly coverage of what has happened with the film, if James or Daniel or Andrew Scott mention it, like anything and everything associated to Victor Frankenstein, that's what this podcast will be. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much, guys, so
excited for this film, if you haven't been able to tell. And yeah, so feel free to follow me on Tumblr. It's Igor Stein Turpin on Tumblr. It's Igor Stein Turpin on Twitter. And actually on Twitter, guys, if you guys have any questions that you want Gina and I to answer in this podcast, feel free to say, hey, podcast question and then go ahead and ask your question. Again, please don't fish for spoilers. I will not spoil this film.
And to be honest, we don't know.
We don't know. We haven't seen it. But we have seen the clips and the trailer and we have read a draft. So if you have any questions, you know, like, oh, like, how do you think, you know, Daniel Radcliffe will act in this movie? Or I don't know what kinds of questions, but like, you know, or like, what's your favorite thing about the script? Or who's your favorite character? You know, stuff like that, we would love to answer. So yeah.
So again, thanks so much for listening, guys. And we can't wait until next week.
Yeah. So thanks so much for listening to It's Alive.
It's Alive.
It's Alive. Oh God. Okay. We're terrible actors. Just, you know, wait for James and Daniel to say it. I think that's kind of a spoiler, but oh well.
Yeah. They say it twice in the trailer.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Definitely check out the Twitter and Tumblr for any and every update. So yeah, we'll see you guys.
Next week.
See you next week.